opens, no one can shut. And what he shuts, no one can open. I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and not denied my name. I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown. The one who is victorious, I will make a pillar in the temple of God. Never again will they leave it, and I will write on them a new name of God, the name of my city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which is coming down from heaven. And I will also write on them a new name. To those who have ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the church. Just check for a moment. Make sure you have ears. You have ears? Good. Really, only one verse. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. At the age of somewhere around 13, 14, I don't remember exactly, I was baptized. I can remember it vividly. It was an amazing day. And I can remember, I can still feel how that presence of the Holy Spirit felt that day. And just as we do, I was given a verse. Can you remember the verse that you were given at your baptism? The verse was, see, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. 21 years ago, when we planned to plant this church, we were praying, Lord, give us an open door. And I've told this story before, but there was one particular person in our group of friends who, for some reason, we hadn't told what our plans were. And I was feeling a little bit guilty, so I phoned them up. And their immediate response was this: I was out running this morning. Joy, you're not the only one. Crazy people everywhere. I was out running this morning. He actually used to run marathons and half marathons. And all of a sudden, I got this word in my head, there is an open door in Hamilton. And I went home and I sat down with my wife and we actually discussed, is this for us? Do we need to actually move to Hamilton? Do we need to start a church in Hamilton? And then that afternoon, I phoned him up and said, we're moving to Hamilton. And it was that word, an open door. 2 months ago, Karen and I were preaching for a Tongan conference in Auckland from a grouping of Tongan churches from across the world, Australia and Samoa and even in the States. And I was one of four different preachers. And one of the other preachers, instead of preaching to the congregation like she was told to, she spent the first 10 minutes preaching to Karen and I and prophesying over us. And what word did she give? I have set before you an open door. An open door. There are times in your life when God will give you a word, a scripture that stands out to you. Preachers call it a rhema word. Greek scholars get very upset about that because they say the use of the word rhema in the Bible doesn't support the concept. But the idea is this, that the whole of the Bible is the word of God for us. But every now and then, God will speak specifically to you from the word of God. And I guess for us at that time, as a church, that word, an open door, was a word for us. But that's not where I'm going this morning. Because this is not just a specific word for you at a specific time. This is a general word for us all of the time. Because I believe what's encapsulated in this verse is a universal truth. There are times when there will be a specific door in front of you. And God will say, this is the door. But I believe that no matter whatever your situation is right now, no matter what you might have done in the past, no matter who you are, there is always an open door in front of you. It is not God's nature to lead you down blind alleys. It is not your nature to take you to a place, his nature to take you to a place where there is no future. There is always an open door. No matter how confined or restricted you might feel, no matter whether you see hope or whether you don't see hope, there is an open door. And I believe this because I believe it comes from God's nature. I believe that in front of every person here today, there is an open door. And maybe right now in your walk with Jesus, you are standing on top of a mountain and everything is wonderful. And, you know, maybe last night you won a third of 55 million. Talk to me afterwards. You know, maybe that's where you are spiritually right now. Maybe you're looking out and, you know, all you can see is opportunity and horizon and God's blessing. Or maybe right now it's the opposite. And maybe right now everything that you've been working for and everything that you've hoped for seems to have come crashing down at your feet. Because these are the experiences that we have in the Christian life. And maybe right now when you look at the situation that you're in, you see absolutely no way forward. There is an open door. There is always an open door because that's who God is. And when he called you, when you gave your life to him, and he planned out your life, he planned it with open doors at every stage. An open door into service. An open door into blessing. An open door into life. An open door into joy. A way forward and a way to fulfillment, because that's who God is. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. So let's talk for a bit about open doors. Because in Bible, there are a lot of open doors, and it might help to look at some of these stories to get an idea of what we're talking about here. Peter is in prison. James, one of the other leading disciples, has just undergone the same experience. And he's been taken out and he's been executed. And there is no expectation for Peter that anything will be different from what it was for James. He is secured with two guards, chained feet and hands. And he is asleep, which I take as quite a statement. Because in that condition, when you can sleep, when you know that tomorrow you're going to be executed, that talks about trusting God. And all of a sudden, he wakes up and there's an angel standing there. And the shackles fall off his feet and his hands, and he walks past the guards and he comes to this big iron gate. And the iron gate just opens all by itself for him. Needs oil. And he walks out into the street. He thinks it's a vision. He doesn't think it's real. And then all of a sudden, he finds himself in the street alone, and it's real. And it's a great story because the church is having a prayer meeting for him. And it's one of the kind of prayer meetings that you do not want to have in church. Because he knocks on the door and he says, I'm here. Can you please let me in before somebody sees me and arrests me? And none of them believe him. And they leave him standing outside. I mean, that's what you call a prayer meeting without faith. A prayer meeting going through the motions, and yet God still answered. And if you're going to read that story into our lives today, I mean, to start off with, you know, we could all say this. We could all say, look, I was in prison. God saved me. And maybe that prison was sin. Maybe it was addiction. Maybe it was sickness. Maybe it was an impossible situation. Maybe it was a self-esteem issue and the way that you look at yourself. And God came along and he changed you. And he set you free. He gave you an open door. The psalmist says this, my soul has escaped like a bird from the fowler's snare. The snare is broken, and we have escaped. I think my favorite open door story is the exact opposite of that last story, because that was a story out of something, and this is a story into something, because doors work both ways. If you don't know that, you will be stuck in this building for the rest of your life. David wants to capture Jerusalem. It's the last major city to be captured. But he also knows it's an impregnable city. He knows that if he has to take it by force, he will lose most of his troops doing so. So he waits until he finds a way into the city. And he finds a Canaanite water tunnel. For the first time, I got to walk through it a few months ago, because it's never, no, different one, different tunnel, and you can still see the scar. I have a reputation for hitting my head. I'm trying to get some sense knocked into me. And got to walk along the tunnel that the soldiers would have gone through. And it's like he waited until he knew there was an open door. And we look at these problems in our lives and they seem impregnable. And they seem impossible to solve. And God says there's an open door. And David waited until he found that open door into the city. Hosea chapter 2, verse 14, 15. And I will make the valley of Achor a door of hope. Petach Tikva, an opening of hope. Achor is the place where just after Jericho has been taken, Achan sins. And because of his sin, because he takes some of the plunder, he brings defeat upon the whole nation. And Achor is one of those standout moments in Israelite history where everything went wrong. And everything went wrong because of sin. And it was a dire situation. And here in Hosea, God is saying, I will take that dire situation. I will take that terrible valley that you all want to forget about. And in it, I will open a door of hope. A door for the future. Because that's who God is. If you read in Genesis, because I'm a narrative kind of a person, Genesis 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, that kind of a section, you will find it is remarkable how often the Bible records people sitting at the entrance to their tent. So before God finally fulfills the promise to Abraham and Sarah, Abraham is sitting at the door of his tent. Sarah is sitting at the door of her tent. Before the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, they're sitting at the entrance to the tent. And boring old Bible scholars, okay, yeah, that's me, I am self-identifying here, make a big deal about this sitting at the entrance of the tent, because it's a really odd thing to happen in these chapters. It doesn't really happen anywhere else in the Bible. And it's like it's a way of saying they're ready for something new. They're ready for what God is about to do. They're sitting right there at the entrance of the tent, waiting for something good that God's got for them. The children of Israel leaving Egypt, coming to the Red Sea, and they discover an open door. The water opens in front of them. Not all open doors in the Bible are quite so positive. Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. And there is only one opening in front. is not good. And he prays, if there is any way, take this cup from me. But not my will, but your will. And that door in front of him was the cross. And it's not the kind of door that anybody wants to walk through. And it's not the kind of open door that you rush through with joy. But Hebrews tells us that Jesus walked through that door for the joy that was set before him. And then it tells us that because he walked through that door, there is for us a new and living way into God's presence through his body. And the cross opened for us an open door. And as a result, you get the Bible's greatest open door. It is a 2-meter round stone. And there's an angel sitting on top of it because it's just been rolled away from the tomb door. And Jesus is alive. And for you, there is an open door. Maybe you don't believe me. Maybe you don't believe me when I say there's always an open door. Maybe you think there are situations where there is no future. Well, there's Stephen. And he's about to be stoned to death. That's about as final as it gets. And what they're going to do, or what they've perhaps already done, is they've taken him to a low cliff, 3-4 meters high. They've pushed him off the cliff, and they are going to drop stones onto him. And perhaps after he's been thrown down, he looks up and he sees heaven standing open. And he sees Jesus standing there. And in front of him, there is an open door. Even though for him it will mean death, there's still an open door. There is always an open door. Even in the valley of the shadow of death, there is an open door. Each of these stories tells us something different. And maybe for a moment we should just quickly look at some of the things that they tell us. The story of David and finding a way to capture Jerusalem, finding the way in through the water tunnel, reminds us that it's not always easy to find the open door. It's not always easy to recognize the open door. And for David, it took patience, and he wasn't prepared to attack the city until he knew where the open door was. And sometimes we are too quick to rush in. Sometimes we need to wait for that open door. The water tunnels was always there. David didn't know it. It wasn't until he found out about the water tunnel that he recognized the open door. And for him, this was probably a word of wisdom. Ah, this is how you need to take the city. So David waited for the open door. If he had forced his way in, he would have done so at incredible cost. So just because you don't see a door in front of you, doesn't mean it's not there. There is always an open door. Peter's discovery reminds us that an open door is not enough. Ah, look, isn't that great? It's an open door. Isn't that wonderful? It's so nice. It is so stuffy in this prison. And it's really great that the door is open and a breeze can come through and make my life a little bit easier. Well, no, you've got to walk through the door. But the door is open, but you've got to walk through it. Jesus holds the keys. And what he opens, no one can shut. And what he shuts, no one can open. And that will do you absolutely no good whatsoever unless you use that open door. Unless you go through it. That might take work. And it might take perseverance. And it might take obedience. You've got to go through that door. The door doesn't always stay open forever. As someone once said, when one door closes, another door opens. But apart from that, it's a really, really good used car. That's one of those jokes that just needs to sink in for a bit, isn't it? Most of us want our doors, magic, our open doors to be magic and easy. And some are. But other open doors actually require us to do something. Naaman thought that Elijah was going to say the magic words and everything would be fine. And he discovered instead he had to go and bathe in the river. He had to do something. Sometimes it takes work, and you've got to do your part. Doors need to be recognized, and that's perhaps the difficult thing for us, because there are a couple of problems here. Doors come in all shapes and sizes. If I was organized, I would have a picture of Gandalf the Grey desperately trying to find the door that's going to take them through the mountain passage. But too late. JJ, could you? It's not always easy to recognize doors. They come in all different kinds of shapes and sizes. And God has different doors for different occasions. And sometimes it's a cathedral door. It's big and impressive. And sometimes one of those tiny little mouse doors. And sometimes it's the tradesman entrance. In Mega this last week, we did a study that was actually inspired by the David story and the water tunnel. And we looked at about a dozen different ways to walk through a door. And if you missed it, you've missed it forever. And you will never know. Okay, it will be posted online this week. Go to the church website and you will find a bunch of different ways to walk through the doors. The study is called Tools. The next problem is that we don't always recognize the door. Because God's door is not always the one that we want. And when you are so caught up with looking for the wrong open door, you actually miss what God has for you. I mean, let's be honest, we all want the open door to fame and fortune, right? But very often that's not God's door. He has an open door for you for something else. And you have to do what Jesus said and do not my will, but yours be done. And you have to recognize that his open door is a door that will bring joy and fulfillment into your life. And yours, actually it might lead to other things. Another problem we've got here is that most of us aren't faced with one door. If it was one door, it would be easy. Most of us are faced with 100 doors. And we don't know which doors are open and we don't know which doors are locked, because you can't tell whether a door is locked until you push the handle. And you've actually got to figure out which door it is. And sometimes you've actually got to push some of those doors to see which door is open and which door is locked. When we looked for this building, wow, that was hard. On one day, we visited 14 different buildings looking for this one. And we didn't find this building until basically we'd given up. Because it was hard going. And you've just got to keep pushing forward. Paul says, "But I will stay here in Ephesus until Pentecost, because a great door of efficient work has opened for me, and there are many who oppose me." And his open door actually had opposition attached to it. A Not every door that looks closed is. And not every door that looks open is. And God often opens doors that are unexpected for us. Most of these doors are doors that have service attached to them. In front of you today, there is an open door. The one who is holy and true has the keys. And he has opened that door. And the door that he has opened, no one can close. Not you. Certainly not the enemy. Not the people around you. The door that he has opened, no one can close. This is God's promise to you. He knows your deeds. Right? That means he knows everything about you. He knows your past. He knows the good and the bad. He knows the work that you've done for him. He knows your desires. He knows what's best for you because he's holy and he's true. And right now in front of you there is a door of opportunity. He knows that you have little strength. But it doesn't depend on your strengths. It depends on his strength. And if he has a door for you, then he has a future. And if he has a door for you, then there are new things ahead of you. And if he has a door for you, then there is more for you than what you have right now. And one of the things I like about this verse is there is adventure in this verse. Because there's a door. And I get to find it. And I get to discover what it is that God has in store for my future. And you get to do exactly the same thing. It's a door into the unknown. So we ask God to help us find that door. Sometimes it's a door into things. Sometimes it's a door out of things. It's never a door to run away. Because what you run away from will inevitably follow you. JJ is just correcting the clock to give me more time. Thank you, JJ. Very much appreciated. Maybe the door that's in front of you is an answer to your problem. Maybe there's something that you're struggling with right now. Maybe it's a business thing. Maybe it's a personal thing. Maybe it's a spiritual or emotional thing. Maybe it's a health issue. Ask God for the open door. And for us as a church right now, that word that was spoken 21 years ago when we first started out, and the word that was spoken over us 2 months ago is true. In front of this church, there is an open door. God has made space for us. And he's made space for us to grow. That's not just physical space. It's not just these walls. It's a spiritual space. It's an environmental space. It's a cultural space. There is space for us to grow and for us to succeed and for us to excel and for us to find fullness. When we went into this building, one of the key words that God gave us was the whole business in Haggai. I love Haggai. It's my favorite minor prophet. Awesome book. And at the end of Haggai, it says this. And I've lost my place. In this place, God says, I will give peace. In this place, I will give peace. Now, Peace in Hebrew thought is not quiet. This church is never going to be quiet. There are always going to be kids running around. They are always going to be a pain in the neck. They are always going to upset you. And it's wonderful. You're not going to get that kind of peace. The band is always going to be too loud. And Carolyn is always going to laugh too loud. No peace. Peace in Hebrew means wholeness. It means completeness. It's got the ideas connected to it of healing. Wholeness is a good translation of the word. And that's what God promises. That's the open door that's ahead of us. It's been our experience over the years of this church that people who come here grow. They come in broken, and unfortunately, often they leave healed. We'd rather they hung around healed, but that's the way that it often goes. Because that's the promise that God has over us. And if that's true for us as a church, it's true for you as a person. So whatever is holding you back, whatever it is that is the burden on your shoulders right now, there is an open door. Now the psychologists have a name for this. They call it self-actualization. And the entire congregation went, ah, that makes sense. Self-actualization means finding your potential. Finding the whole of you. Finding what fulfills you. And what enables you to make a contribution. We have a layman's term for this. We call it art. Doing something above the normal. Doing something that expresses you. And if you paint, that's a great example. If you write poetry, well, someone's got to do it. If you sing, if you play an instrument, if you do the best form of art and play with light, but marriage is art too. Learning what makes each other happy. Learning how to be a blessing. And raising children is art as well. I mean, it can be described as a lot of other things, but it's art. There's an art to it. There's a side to which you can self-fulfill within it. And any area of service in church, it's a form of art. You're doing something that stretches you and grows you and engages all those gifts and talents that God's put in your life. An open door. Find that calling of Jesus in your life. Find that open door that's ahead of you. And for the next 5 years of this church, normally we end the service in prayer. That's because we don't trust our musicians to close it well. No, it's not quite that way. In a minute I will pray, but can you pray for a moment? Because I know some issues for almost everybody here, but I don't know what's in your heart. I don't know the griefs and the pains. I don't know what it is that you feel like is holding you back right now. You take a moment and ask Jesus to show you the open door. He might just do it instantly, because that happens to me sometimes. But it might be that over the next week or month, you suddenly recognize what's in front of you as an open door. You suddenly get that wisdom on what you need to do, on what needs to change. You suddenly find that opportunity. So ask him right now for an open door, and ask him for the wisdom to recognize it, and ask him for the strength to look through it. There will be prayer at the front here. This evening there will be a worship service. We're just working on what form it's going to take. We're going to try and pull in some of the ideas from Friday night to Sunday night, but we've got to work out how that works.